Welcome to the Eldritch Estate, an establishment dedicated to the bizarre, the dark, and all that is otherworldly. We invite our guests to come and stay a while, to enjoy the haunted hallways, the shrieks of terror and delight, to forget time in our enchantingly disturbing abode. Whether it's for an overnighter or a week-long stay, our hostesses will see to it that you are shocked, horrified, and left morbidly curious about the goings-on here at the estate. Will you take a trip with us? We can't wait for you to see what's in store.
Hello, and welcome back to the Eldritch Estate. It's season 3, motherfuckers! I'm Dusty.
And I'm Katie.
And thank you for joining us. I know we have been on hiatus for like a month. It's been busy. I had a competition, and then there was the holidays, and now it's the new year, and for me, as a Chinese martial artist, there are a bunch of Chinese New Year performances coming up, because Chinese New Year is going to be towards the end of January, beginning of February. It's actually on February 1st. It's going to be the Year of the Tiger. You should check it out. It's going to be pretty cool.
It's the Year of the Tiger.
It's the... I like how we both just gave up on the last part of the lyrics. So yeah, we have lots of great content planned for you, including a couple of audience suggestions, like listener case suggestions that you guys have sent to us. Send us some if you haven't already. And hopefully a guest or two. Today we're going to be starting off with a haunting slash paranormal case, but it's a little bit different than our usual. Rather than a haunted place, this episode is about a haunted object. So today we'll be covering the Dybbuk Box. Now, I know I just said this was a haunting episode, but really, before we get into it, we need to talk about what a Dybbuk is. And technically, a Dybbuk is a cryptid, so...
And I'm probably... This mic is fucking me up because I can't see you now.
Oh.
We got a new mic, guys.
We got a new mic!
We got new stuff!
Hopefully this sounds really good.
Happy Christmas. We're coming out from underneath the ocean.
Yeah, amazingly, I don't know if they planned it or not, but both of our significant others got us sweet new podcasting microphones for Christmas. So that's pretty cool.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I'm dead. You're like, I have all this cool reasons that we were on hiatus, and I'm like, and I'm making a person.
Yes.
Like that. I'm just pregnant.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Oh, also speaking of that, I got another dog.
The Eldritch Estate has grown by 6 feet.
Yeah.
Not under, above.
Yeah. So yeah, Katie's making a human with hopefully 2 feet, and we adopted a dog with 4, so, you know, math.
She's very cute.
She's very cute. She's actually the litter mate of the dog that we rescued back in June. So they're sisters, and we adopted, her name is Zelda, back in June. And the lady who owns the rescue, she was talking about Zella, who's the sister, and she was like, oh, do you know anybody nearby you who might want to adopt her? That way the sisters can, like, play together sometimes. And I was like, you know, we'll take her.
So, I do. I know me.
Yeah, on New Year's Eve, we flew out to the airport. Well, we flew out to L.A. to meet them at the airport there, and then we drove back because flying there and flying back was going to be a logistical nightmare and paperwork and all kinds of stuff that I was not prepared to do on my winter break. So she's here with us now. She's been with us for, I don't know, about a week and a half, so she's still adjusting, but she's very cute, and I think it's going to be a really good situation for everyone involved.
They're precious, and they're soft like bunnies, guys.
Yes. And they're just, like, cute little twinners. Like, Zelda's a little bit or Zella is a little bit bigger. By the way, the name thing we're still working on. That was the names they were given by the rescue. It's kind of confusing for me, and I'm sure it's confusing for the dogs. So Zella may get a name change. Zelda is, like, solidified in her name, but Zella might get a name change.
I'm shook that people name their children things that are that close together.
Dude.
Like, my husband is Logan, and my dog is Odin, and I shit you not, I call my husband my dog's name and my dog my husband's name all the fucking time.
We used to have two dogs, Rudy and Jake, and I would frequently call them Judy and Rake, so.
Yep.
I feel like I'm just gonna fuck it up no matter what, though. Honestly, Screwball.
Same.
If Katie's grandma couldn't remember your name, she'd just call you Screwball.
It's true.
Okay, so yeah, kind of a 2-for-1 here with the cryptid and the haunting and the paranormal and all the stuff. So, the term Dybbuk comes from Jewish mythology, specifically the Hebrew word Dabak. I'm sorry for the mispronunciation, which means to adhere or to cling. Supposedly, a Dybbuk is a malicious spirit that has been separated from its deceased body. It's like a lost soul, and it's said to attach itself, or adhere, to a living person via possession. It inhabits the host's body, uses their mouth to speak, and otherwise acts like any other kind of possession. It's said to leave the body either once its purpose has been fulfilled or via exorcism.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Hate it.
And traditionally,
not a cute cryptid I want to give a hug.
No, not at all. And we're very much in the realm of, yeah, like, not necessarily demons, but like, yeah, malevolent spirits.
It's a demon.
Yeah. It's a demon. Traditionally, Dybbuks tended to be male spirits who possessed women on the eve of their weddings, typically in a sexual fashion by entering the woman through their vagina.
Ooh.
In contrast, there's another term, like, opposite of the Dybbuk, which is the Ibur. Again, I'm really sorry if I'm probably pronouncing that horribly, which means impregnation, and it's a positive type of possession, which happens when a righteous soul temporarily possesses a body.
Righteous.
Yeah, so this is always done with consent so that the soul can perform a mitzvah. And then the Gilgul, I'm gonna really apologize to anybody that speaks Hebrew, I'm butchering these, which means, like, rolling is the translation that I found.
Bro, Hebrew letters are so cute.
They're very pretty. It puts forth the idea that a soul must live through many lives before it gains the wisdom to rejoin with God. So, like, you know, impregnation, like, sort of like a, you know, the blessing of a child, the possession through that to conceive.
Like a bar or a bat mitzvah? Is that related?
I don't know.
Anybody out there who knows?
Anybody who knows? Weigh
in. Bang my line.
We would love to know.
Not in the coke way.
And then in psychological literature, the Dybbuk has been described as a hysterical syndrome, which we've seen in the past in various cultures having to do with, you know, women acting strangely. They call, it's hysteria, a hysterectomy, because you're so crazy. We just have to take your uterus out.
Sometimes they prescribe masturbation, too. I'm pretty sure that's why, like, vibrators were invented, was for hysteria.
That is interesting.
I'm going to fact check myself here because...
Fact check.
I'm going to.
Only the facts here at the Eldritch Estate. So there have been plays about Dybbuks and films, obviously. Most notably, there was a film in 1937 called The Dybbuk, which details the history of a possession. And then in 2019, there was another film, also called Dybbuk, about a possession occurring in a Jewish community in Paris. So, the 1937 film of the Dybbuk is largely considered to be, like, the quintessential story of the Dybbuk, of, like, a woman being possessed on her wedding night, and, you know, how the story plays out from there. What's interesting about the Dybbuk box is that it's supposedly possessed by the Dybbuk. However, all other accounts, stories, and writings on the Dybbuk only ever refer to the spirit as possessing a person. So... take that for what you will, but typically Dybbuks possess people, not objects. So the entire concept of a Dybbuk box is a little outside the definition of Dybbuk.
Okay.
In and of itself.
So the box itself is sort of kind of a cryptid.
Or the box is just isn't the typical receptacle for a Dybbuk. Yeah. Like if
it doesn't have a vagina.
If the Dybbuk had a choice. Yeah. The box doesn't have a vagina.
Also, fact checked. Verified. They did use vibrators to treat hysteria.
That's really interesting.
Except they weren't like, okay, here, take this home and flick your bean. Like, they straight up would be like, we're going to perform this pelvic massage now, which is so fucking rapey and
sounds
gross.
So awkward, oh my god. Yeah, no, not my favorite. There is one other instance of a Dybbuk possessing an object. In pop culture, it's a highly fictional representation. In the 2019 film Killer Sofa, a Dybbuk possesses a recliner and commits several murders.
I was looking at your notes and I read that as Killer Sophia. Now that it's Killer Sofa, it's even funnier.
Killer Sophia.
I was like, this recliner is definitely called Sophia.
I mean, you can name your furniture. Sometimes we name our furniture.
I feel like I name almost everything.
Yeah, that was me as a child for sure. My parents would be like, all right, what's this thing called? And I'd be like, this is Reginald, or whatever.
That's Kevin.
Okay. So on to the Dybbuk box itself. Now that I've given you a little background info on the Dybbuk. In September of 2001, a man by the name of Kevin Manis claims he purchased a wine cabinet at an estate sale. The wine cabinet being the Dybbuk box. Over the course of the next few months and years, the box changes hands several times. Manis sells it on eBay to a man named Losif Nitsky, a student in Missouri. Nitsky then sells it to Jason Haxton, who is the director of the Museum of Osteopathic Medicine at A.T. Still University. That was such a mouthful.
That was a lot.
Haxton then writes a book about his experiences with the box. It becomes very popular and is eventually purchased by our very own Zach Bagans of Ghost Adventures.
No shit, I didn't know that.
Yes. So I'll go through each of the owners and kind of what happened, but I just wanted you to have a general timeline.
Is there an episode of Ghost Adventures about this?
Yes.
I want to watch it.
We should watch it, because somehow in my research I did not watch it. I was, like, too busy reading things, and I forgot about watching things, so. Bored. Let's do that. Let's have a movie night.
I'm in.
So on to the story of the Dybbuk box. As I said, it was listed on eBay by Kevin Manis, who claims he bought it in an estate sale in 2001. So this is the eBay listing for the item as written by Kevin Manis. This is what people saw when they logged in and saw the item and, you know, were thinking of purchasing it. This is the description that they read.
Is it some fucked up shit that I wouldn't want to buy?
Yes.
All right.
100%.
I'm ready.
It is also, a good bit of creativity in here, so just prepare.
I bet you this guy writes, like, ripping Amazon reviews too.
Right. So I will now be reading the listing. So this is long, but all of this is a direct quote from the eBay listing. Quote, "All of the events that I am about to set forth in this listing are accurate and may be verified by the winning bidder with the copies of hospital records and sworn affidavits that I am including as part of the sale of the cabinet."
Chung chung.
Chung chung. These are their stories. "During September of 2001, I attended an estate estate sale
today? I like it as scale better, I'm not gonna lie.
I keep trying to say, like, escape scale or estate scale or...
Remix.
"I attended an estate sale in Portland, Oregon. The items liquidated at this sale were from the estate of a woman who had passed away at the age of 103.
Damn.
A granddaughter of the woman told me that her grandmother had been born in Poland, where she grew up, married, raised a family, and lived until she was sent to a Nazi concentration camp during World War II.
That's sad.
She was the only member of her family who survived the camp.
Mm-hmm.
Her parents, brothers, a sister, husband, and two sons and a daughter were all killed.
Fuck.
She survived the camp by escaping with some prisoners and somehow making her way to Spain, where she lived until the end of the war. I was told that she acquired the small wine cabinet listed here in Spain, and it was one of only three items that she brought with her when she immigrated to the United States. The other two items were a steamer trunk and a sewing box. I purchased the wine cabinet along with the sewing box and some other furniture at the estate sale. After the sale, I was approached by the woman's granddaughter, who said, 'I see you got the Dybbuk box.' She was referring to the wine cabinet. I asked her what a Dybbuk box was, and she told me that when she was growing up, her mother always kept the wine cabinet in her sewing room. It was always shut and set in a place that was out of reach. The grandmother always called it the Dybbuk box. When the girl asked her grandmother what was inside, her grandmother spit three times through her fingers and said, 'A Dybbuk and Kesselim.' The grandmother went on to tell the girl that the wine cabinet was never, ever to be opened."
I need a depiction of spitting three times through your fingers.
Yeah, like, I don't know if that means, yeah, like, one, two, three in each individual, or just, like, three of them at once, just, like, through your fingers. Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder why.
Again,
wonder
if somebody you know does that or you do that, please weigh in. We would love to know.
Is it, like, throwing salt over your shoulder? Like, is it...
Yeah, is it like a, do that so that whatever you're about to say or talk about doesn't come back and bite you?
Interesting.
I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, too, but a lot of this is steeped in a particular
branch of Jewish mysticism called Kabbalah. So we'll talk about that a little bit later, too.
Word.
Okay, back to the story. The granddaughter told me that her grandmother had asked that the box be buried with her. However, as such a request was contrary to the rules of an Orthodox Jewish burial, the grandmother's request had not been honored.
I feel like that's worse.
Yeah, I mean, you should honor the dead's wishes.
But there are definitely rules to be buried in certain cemeteries.
Yes, like, and I will admit I do not know the rules of an Orthodox Jewish burial, so.
Same. I know you can't have tattoos from what I understand.
Hmm. Which makes that whole being in a concentration camp thing kind of a problem. Although I feel like there should
be... That's not a consensual tattoo, though.
It's not a consensual tattoo, so there should be a loophole there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I asked the granddaughter what a dibbuk and keselim were, but she did not know. I asked if she would like to open it with me. She did not want to open it, as her grandmother had been very emphatic and serious when she instructed her not to do so. And regardless of the reason, she wanted to honor her grandmother's request. I finally ended up offering to let her keep what seemed to me to be a sentimental keepsake. At that point, she was very insistent and said, no, you bought it.
Oh, you bought the demon, you take it home.
Mm-hmm. You take that demon.
That's where I'm like, no, I want a refund. I don't even want a refund. My Uber's here, I gotta go.
Yeah. Well, and like, how do you dispose of such a thing if you don't want it then? Do you just like chuck it somewhere? That's gonna piss the demon off.
You put a very intricate listing on eBay, apparently.
Apparently. I explained that I didn't want my money back, and that it would make me feel better to do what I thought was an act of kindness. She then became somewhat upset. Looking back now, the way she became upset was just plain odd. She raised her voice to me and said, "You bought it! You made a deal!"
Ooh.
When I tried to speak, she yelled, "We don't want it!" She began to cry, asked me to leave, and quickly walked away. I wrote the whole episode off to the stress and grief she must have been experiencing. I took my purchases and politely left.
Mm. Did you, though? Could you imagine if he still left it there?
Right, just, like, left it at the estate sale, and she comes back and she's like, "What the fuck, bro?"
You made a deal.
You made a deal. At the time when I bought the cabinet, I owned a small furniture refinishing business. I took the cabinet to my store and put it in my basement workshop where I intended to refinish it and give it as a gift to my mother.
Oh shit, you were gonna accidentally give your mom a demon. I'm stressed.
Kids, don't accidentally give your mom a demon. In fact, don't give your mom a demon on purpose either.
Every gift begins with demons.
I didn't think any more about it. I opened my shop for the day and went to run some errands, leaving the young woman who did sales for me in charge. After about a half hour, I got a call on my cell phone. The call was from my salesperson. She was absolutely hysterical and screaming that somebody in my workshop was in the... screaming that someone was in my workshop breaking glass and swearing. Furthermore, the intruder had locked the iron security gates and the emergency exit, and she couldn't get out.
Oh, fuck no.
As I told her to call the police, my cell phone battery went dead. I hit speeds of 100 miles an hour getting back to the shop. When I arrived...
the cell phone died. I was like, why wouldn't you call the fucking police?
The cell phone battery is dead.
I take it back.
When I arrived, I found the gates locked. I went inside and found my employee on the floor in a corner of my office, sobbing hysterically. I ran to the basement and went downstairs. At the bottom of the stairs, I was hit by an overpowering, unmistakable odor of cat urine.
No.
There have never been any animals kept or found in my shop.
You can't get the smell of cat pee out of nothing either. Mm-hmm. It's awful.
Mm-hmm. The lights didn't work. As I investigated, I found that the reason the lights didn't work also explained the sound of the glass breaking. All of the light bulbs in the basement were broken. All 9 incandescent bulbs had been broken in their sockets, and 10 4-foot fluorescent tubes were lying shattered on the floor.
Those are fucking expensive, too.
They are, and they're fucking huge. Like, you hear 4-foot fluorescent tube, but when you see a 4-foot fluorescent tube, you're like, holy shit.
We have them in the stock room at my work, and I'm like, those things are gigantic. It's like almost a person.
Yeah. I don't know if I've spoken very much about the martial arts school where I teach at, but it's an older building, and we have this one that is like
right by the AC unit, and so when the AC kicks on, it sort of, like, and, like, vibrates a little bit, and just to watch this tube of light in the ceiling, like, vibrate, you're just like, ah!
Well, they think they have some kind of, like, noxious gas inside of them.
It's not there's good some if shit they break. Inside I know that.
It's not supposed to get out. Yeah.
Katie and I just revealing how much we do not know about light bulbs right now.
Clearly an electrician's
fucking daughter. Magnets.
How do they work? I got her right before she was gonna take a drink. That makes it even better. Don't choke. Please don't choke.
Okay. I did not find an intruder, however. I should also add that there was only one entrance to the basement. It would have been impossible for anyone to leave without meeting me head-on. I went back up to speak with my salesperson, but she had left.
She noped right the fuck out of there. And, okay, I gotta say, you just charged into a dark basement.
Mm-hmm. After hearing that there was an intruder.
And it's not like you had the light on your cell phone, because that shit's dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, this motherfucker would have been among the first to die in a horror movie.
Yep, for like sure. The first one.
100%.
Charging face first down a dark basement staircase.
Not a final
with
girl.
With a demon box downstairs.
With a fucking demon. Well, I mean, he doesn't know it's a demon yet, but...
Okay, but if somebody was like, you bought it! I'd be like, what the fuck is in there?
Yeah.
What the fuck is in there?
Usually when you engage in some sort of sale or trade, the person will be like, great, I hope you enjoy it. Not like, no, you bought it. Get the fuck away from me.
I can't tell you what these words mean. I'd be like, hang on, I'm gonna Google it before I hand you this money.
Right? Interesting. She never returned to work, the salesperson, after being with me for 2 years. She refuses to discuss the incident to this day. I never thought of relating the events of that day to anything having to do with the cabinet.
Could you imagine being her therapist?
The poor therapist, but also the poor salesperson. Like, she's like, I was at work, and then, like, shit was breaking, and she said she heard someone cursing and, like, throwing stuff, right? So that's interesting, too.
Did he open the cabinet?
According to this part of the story, no.
Okay.
He had just set it in the basement to work on later, and then he had gone to run errands. Okay? Okay, that's where
so
we are right now.
So this was fucking that poor old lady up, too.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then, things got worse.
That sounds terrible.
As I already indicated, I had decided to give the cabinet to my mother as a birthday gift. About 2 weeks after I made the purchase, I decided to get started refinishing it. I was surprised to find that the cabinet has a unique little mechanism. When you open one of the doors, the mechanism causes the opposite door and the little drawer below to open at the same time. So they kind of, like, everything opens all at once.
Oh,
the
it's
whole
like those,
thing opens out.
Makeup caboodles where you lift up the top part and when you slide the drawer out, it, like, pops all the eyeshadows out on the side.
Yes, and we'll
Except
upload
with,
some pictures. But, like, it's like this really nice little, you know, cabinet that would hold the wine bottles and maybe, like, a big lid for some sort of, pitcher or something like that, and then, like, obviously the wine bottles and stuff like that. So, like, wine bottles and big glass bottles and stuff like that, and then there's a little drawer underneath, right?
Okay.
It is very well made. Inside the cabinet, I found the following items. One 1928 U.S. wheat penny. One 1925 U.S. wheat penny. One small lock of blonde hair bound with string.
What the fuck?
One small lock of black/brown hair bound with string.
Okay, I'm looking at a picture of it. This thing looks like you're opening a fucking oracle.
It looks haunted as fuck. Like,
like, I'm pretty sure that the things that are glued on the front of this are also on the ceiling.
At the fucking Hotel Monte Vista.
Yep.
Can I tell you how many people I've had a conversation with about the fucking angels on the ceiling at that hotel recently?
They're spooky.
One small granite statue engraved and gilded with Hebrew letters, and then it says here in parentheses, I have been told that the letters spell out the word shalom. One dried rosebud. One golden wine cup. One very strange black cast iron candlestick holder with octopus legs.
That thing looks spooky as fuck.
So like I said, we'll put photos up on the Instagram page for you guys.
Guys, I'm stressed. I didn't think this was going to be scary, and here I am.
Don't ask me why I find it so enjoyable to freak Katie the fuck out, but it really brings
Did
me a lot of joy.
Did somebody refinish this into a whiskey cabinet?
That's like, yeah, the bottles look like whiskey bottles, right? Or like something you would serve whiskey in. Yeah, the top photo is the one of the wine cabinet. The Dybbuk box.
Okay.
I saved all of the items in a box, intending to return them to the estate. The family had refused the items, so they will instead be included in the sale of this cabinet. So again, this is the eBay listing. So he's saying, I tried to give them back to the family, they didn't want them, so I'm selling them along with the cabinet here on eBay. After opening the cabinet, I decided not to refinish it. I cleaned it and rubbed in some lemon oil. It was at this time that I noticed there was an inscription in Hebrew carved into the back of the cabinet. I have no idea what it says or if it is significant. I have included a picture of that inscription below. We'll also include that photo on Instagram.
I'm Googling it right now.
On my mother's birthday, October 28th, 2001, my mother called to tell me that she was going out of town with my sister for 3 days, and we postponed celebrating her birthday together until she returned. On October 31st, 2001, my mother came to my shop. We were going to have lunch together, but before we were going to leave, I gave her the wine cabinet. She seemed to like it. While she examined it, I went to make a phone call. I hadn't been out of sight more than 5 minutes when one of my employees came running into my office saying that something was wrong with my mom. When I went back to see what the matter was, I found my mom sitting in a chair beside the cabinet. Her face had no expression, but tears were streaming down her cheeks. No matter how I tried to get her to respond, she would not. She could not. It turns out that my mother had suffered a stroke.
What the fuck?
She was taken to the hospital by ambulance.
Oh no.
She ended up suffering partial paralysis and losing her ability to speak and form words. Aww. And then here in parentheses, she has since regained the ability to speak.
That's good.
She could understand things being said to her and could respond by pointing to letters of the alphabet to spell out words that she wanted to say. When I asked her the following day how she was doing, she teared up and spelled out the words, "No gift."
Oh.
I assured her that I had given her a gift for her birthday, thinking that she didn't remember. But she became even more upset and spelled out the words, "Hate gift."
Oh.
Right? Like, if you don't have goosebumps or, like, hair standing up on your arms right now, I don't even know who you are. I laughed and told her not to worry. I told her I was sorry that she didn't like the cabinet and that I would get her anything she wanted if she would promise to get well soon.
Poor mom.
Right? Like, how scary.
I wonder if mom has anything else to say about it.
That would be interesting to know.
Like, what the fuck happened before she had a goddamn stroke because of this cabinet?
Yeah. Yes.
It's like, my tummy's burning. I got the stress, anxiety, heartburn. Also, the baby's growing hair, so it could be that too.
Oh, just yeah. Some little baby hairs tickling around in there.
Apparently when you have hairy babies, it gives you heartburn. I had mad heartburn with my daughter, and she had like little hairs on her ears and like the tops of her shoulders, like just little fuzz, but yeah. I was like, no shit, that's why I had such bad heartburn.
Very interesting. I learn something new about babies or pregnancy every time we hang out.
Bro, I had never had this kind of heartburn before, though. I thought it was, like, you know, feel like acid reflux, like that, like, burny, you're gonna throw up feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling my sister, I was like, you need to take me to the hospital, I'm gonna die.
Oh.
And she's like, you're not gonna die, dude. And I'm like, no, fine. I'm having chest pain. I'm having a heart attack, aren't you listening to me? She's like, take two Tums, you idiot, you have heartburn. I'm like, fine. I'm telling you, I need to go to the hospital, and if I die with two Tums in my mouth, I want that shit on my headstone. This is your fault.
Yeah. Katie, you know, whatever year to now, two Tums in her mouth. Beloved mother.
Goddamn sister wouldn't take her to the hospital.
Send us a listener.
And then I chewed up two Tums and it went away.
So, you know, also, older sisters know things.
Yeah, and I mean, she had done it twice.
Yeah. Okay, getting back to the story.
Yes. Squirrel.
Still, I didn't associate anything that had happened with the cabinet itself or anything paranormal. Frankly, I don't think I ever even used the term paranormal until this last month. Which, I sort of don't buy this part. Like, you've had two crazy ass things happen with this cabinet.
Right, as soon as you get the cabinet, I'd be like, take that shit to the
right.
dump.
And he
like,
got it in September, and this all happened in October. So it's like, bro, come on.
And you opened it, and there's like...
And she said not to open it. Now, if you go and buy a haunted ass object from an estate sale, and then...
And then the lady's gonna act as fucking weird as she did when you
say,
purchased it.
And say, don't open it, and then your ass goes and open it. Like, you
like,
deserve
without
a Damon.
Even googling it.
You didn't even Google it, man.
You didn't ask Jeeves or nobody.
Rude.
A bad idea.
Okay. Continuing. I'll try to make this short now. I gave the cabinet to my sister.
Okay.
Stop giving it to family members.
You bought it. This is your fault. Quit fucking up the women in your life.
On God.
Like, not to blame him, but...
Homeboy was not making the best decisions.
No!
Kevin.
And if it freaked your mom out bad enough for her to tell her child, like, no mom is gonna be like, I fucking hate the present you got me.
Right.
No
and,
mom.
And, like, she's upset. As she's telling you, no gift.
Hate
gift. Gift. Like, dude.
Alright, I'll give it to Susan.
Yeah, like, right. I'll just give it to my good old sis.
Terrible idea.
Okay. So, she kept it for a week, then gave it back. She complained that she couldn't get the doors to stay closed and that they kept coming open. There are no springs in the door mechanism, and I have never found that the doors come open on their own. I gave it to my brother and his wife. Like, bro, why don't you just keep it?
Yes, this the whole purchase. You made a deal.
You made a deal. You bought it. He kept it for 3 days and then gave it back. My brother said it smelled like jasmine flowers, while his wife insisted that it put out an odor of cat urine.
Ew.
So now you have two different people... who were with the object at the same time saying that they smelled completely different things.
And there's a vast difference between cat urine and jasmine flowers.
Right, and they're both fairly strong scents. Like,
yeah.
Jasmine flowers are quite strong.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that the man smelled flowers and the woman smelled cat odor or cat urine.
Mm-hmm.
And that really makes me wonder about, like, the Dybbuk that's inhabiting the box.
Yeah.
Like, are you trying to,
well,
like,
especially when the guy who bought it smelled cat urine, too.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Interesting, isn't it? I gave it to my girlfriend.
Stop giving it to people.
Stop giving it to people. She asked me to sell it for her after only 2 days.
Shocker.
I sold it the same day to a nice middle-aged couple. 3 days later, when I came to open the shop for the day, I found the cabinet sitting at the front doors with a note that read... This has a bad darkness.
Yep.
I had no idea what that meant. Anyway, I ended up taking it home.
Motherfucker, you could tell me that a pencil has a bad darkness, and I'm gonna be like, nah, I don't need it.
I gotta get away from that fucking pencil.
I won't write nothing for the rest of my life. It's cool. It's
I got
cool.
this real nice pen in my bag. It's fine.
Don't. It's erasable.
Mm-hmm.
Worry about yourself.
Yeah. I ain't even like that pencil anyway.
Nope.
Then...
Yeah, I would have been like, you made a deal.
You made a deal. So you're going to be at work and somebody's going to be like, hey, can I borrow your pencil? You're going to be like, you made a deal.
Can you bring my bangs up on this side a little bit more? I'll be like, you, fuck you. You made a deal.
You made a deal. You said we were going to touch up your roots and now you're asking for a full highlight? I thought we made a deal.
I mean... I'm not gonna lie, I'd just be like, I ain't got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
And you don't want me to rush your highlights, you don't.
Mm.
That's Preach. Just rude.
Preach.
Squirrel.
Then, things got even worse.
No shit, bro.
Which at this point, again, I kinda don't buy that he's this, like, oblivious to everything that's going on. Like, he's just like, I didn't know what to think of it. I'm like, you really didn't know what to think of it after Jewish granddaughter told you that shit is like, you gotta keep it closed and said some words that you don't understand and told you that grandma told you never to open it and then all
if your grandma says anything ominous, I'ma believe her.
Literally.
I'm like 98% I'm gonna believe
if
her.
If she was like, never boil water at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday, I'd be like, yes, ma'am.
You've got... I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Exactly.
Like, I worked with this girl who every time her son was sick, her grandma would, like, rub the kid with an egg in some pattern.
Dude, isn't that some brujeria stuff?
Yes.
Yes.
And it, I shit you not, it worked every fucking time. So every time I got sick, I was like, Gabby, get the egg.
Get the egg.
I don't know if I've talked about get the egg on the podcast before.
I need the egg.
Yeah, but it's legit. Like, if your grandma knows some cool shit, she really knows it, man. Time and experience, it's a real thing.
Yeah. Since the day I brought it home, I began having a strange recurring nightmare.
None of this was assigned to you? I'm sorry, I sound like such a condescending asshole, but like...
I just feel like if I had these things happening to me, I would be like, so I'm gonna get rid of this cabinet. Like, I'm going to drive it out in the desert, dig a hole, bury it, forget where I buried it.
You know that shit would show back.
Right? You'd go home and it'd be sitting there and you'd be like, ah!
Word.
Every time I have the horrible dream, it goes something like this. I find myself walking with a friend, usually someone I know well and trust at some point in the dream. I find myself looking into the eyes of the person that I'm with. It is then that I realize that there is something different, something evil, looking back at me. At that point in my dream, the person I am with changes into what can only be described as the most gruesome, demonic-looking hag that I have ever seen.
Oh.
This hag proceeds then to beat the living tar out of me.
Oh.
I have awakened numerous times to find bruises and marks on myself where I had been hit by the old woman during the previous night. Still, I never related the nightmares to the cabinet, nor do I think I ever would have. Now I'm like, you kind of dumb.
Like, how far you got your head shoved into the sand?
Come on, man. Like, unless, I don't know, you were very, very not used to even thinking about, like he said, the paranormal or superstition or mysticism or anything like that. I don't know. I just feel like, how all these things gonna happen and you're just like, oh!
How fucking naive can you be?
Right. About a month ago, however, my sister and my brother and his wife came over to my house and spent the night.
Okay, if I've given you a haunted demon cabinet back, I'm not sleeping at your house.
100% not having a sleepover.
0 out of 10. This Airbnb sucks.
I also don't know, like, how common it is for other people's, like, adult siblings to come over and spend the night at their house. Like, I don't know.
If it's, like, a long drive, maybe?
Yeah. I don't have siblings, so I don't know, but...
I mean, I'm basically your sibling.
Yeah. You can sleep over at my house anytime.
And I absolutely would.
Yeah. The following morning, during breakfast, my sister complained that she had had a horrible nightmare. She said that she recalled having had it a couple of times before, and went on to describe my nightmare exactly to the last detail. My brother and his wife froze as they listened, and then chimed in that they had both had the exact same dreams during the night as well. The hair was standing up on the back of my neck, and still is. Same.
So wait, his brother and his sister and his brother's wife were there?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And they all had the same nightmare.
Okay.
And they had also talked about how they had had it before as well.
Hate it. Okay.
As we talked, it became clear that the common denominator was that each of us had had the nightmare during the times that the cabinet was in our respective homes. I called my girlfriend and asked if she could recall having any nightmares recently. She described the same nightmare, same hag, everything. When I asked her if she remembered the date when she had the nightmare, she said she did not. Then I asked if it happened to be the night before she gave me the cabinet back to sell for her. She said, yeah. Hey, how did you know that?
Because there's a demon.
Because it's a demon.
Ugh.
Now then, since my family discussion, it seems like all hell is breaking loose. For a week afterward, I started seeing what I can only describe as shadow things in my peripheral vision. In fact, numerous visitors to my house have claimed that they have seen these shadow things. I put the cabinet in an outside...
I would move.
Right?
Like, well, it's time to burn the house.
And then you'd be opening your new boxes after moving, and there it would be.
I might commit arson if that were to ever happen to me. Like,
well, like I said, there is a movie about this, so we could watch the movie, too.
During the daytime?
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah, absolutely, during the daytime when there's, like, plenty of daylight left for me to stay up and watch cartoons.
Yes, and reset your brain.
I've also learned a magic trick to watching scary movies if you're a shitbag and you can't watch scary movies like me.
Mm.
You watch it on mute with the subtitles on.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you put it on mute, put the subtitles on, and then you put some cheery-ass music on, because it's honestly just the noise in a scary movie that makes it scary.
Mm, that makes sense. And, like, some movies will, like, make very smart use of their sound engineering and have it be, like, totally silent. Or some of them will do the, like, ding, or the, like, dun-dun-dun-dun, yeah, and then, blah, like, jump scare. Okay. So, I don't exactly remember where I was, so I'm gonna back up a little bit. So, he starts to see the shadow things. And then it says, in fact, numerous visitors to my house have claimed that they have seen these shadow things. I put the cabinet in an outside storage unit and was awakened when the smoke alarm in the unit went off in the middle of the night.
Ugh.
When I went to see what was burning, I opened the door and didn't see any smoke. However, I did get hit with the smell of cat urine.
Gross.
When I went back inside, the smell was there in my house.
Fuck no.
I do not own a cat, and I never have. I went back outside and grabbed the cabinet. I brought it back inside and tried to research it on the internet. Fucking finally, he's gonna ask Jeeves.
Seriously.
While I was surfing the net, I fell asleep and once again had the same freaking nightmare.
Okay. How do you experience cat piss demon and then fall asleep while you're Googling it?
I don't know, man.
We are not the same.
We are not the same. I will stay up for hours and be like, oh, it's 4 a.m.? Whoopsie doopsie. Like,
well, and like, it just set the smoke alarm off in your storage
unit.
Dude,
you'd think your adrenaline would be like pumping, right?
Well, and I'd be like, am I gonna have a stroke? Am I gonna die? Is it gonna be worse than just having nightmares?
Is a real hag gonna bust through my window and beat the shit out of me?
How do you just, like, nap, nap?
Yeah. I go night-night now.
And that comes from me who has, like, straight-up pregnancy narcolepsy.
I woke up at around 4:30 a.m. when it felt and smelled like someone was breathing on my neck.
Ew.
Ugh.
Okay. That's, like, my description of things I hate the most is when I'm like, it smells like breath.
Dude, and sometimes kids be having the gnarliest breath, let me just tell you, and they want to tell you a story, and they stand super fucking close to you, and you're like, that's great, and you start to, like, scoot back, and they just get close again, and you're like, no.
Being a service provider, like, thank God for masks, but not all my clients wear them, so I'm like, thank God for my mask, and if it's really bad, I'll go, like, this is terrible because I'm allergic to fragrance. I'll go, like, spray a little perfume on the outside of my mask or, like, smudge the bottle.
Dude, I will be 100% honest with you. If a kid farts in my room and it's, like, lingering, I will get the Lysol spray and I'll just, like, ksh around the room real quick. And all the kids will be like, what was that for? And I'm like, I'm just cleaning. I'm just cleaning in the back of the room here. You guys keep doing whatever you're doing. It's fine. And they're just like, whatever. I'm like, I am cleaning. I'm scrubbing the air of your foul odor.
You, Johnny. Spraying your shit out of the air.
And, like, all the other kids know who it was, you know what I mean? Like, they all know.
Because somebody has to sit next to him.
Okay. So now he awakens, and it says, quote, to find that my house now smelled like jasmine flowers. And just in time to see a huge shadow thing go loping down the hall away from me. I would destroy this thing in a second, except I really don't have any understanding of what I may or may not be dealing with. I'm afraid, and I do mean afraid, that if I destroy the cabinet, whatever it is that seems to have come with the cabinet may just stay here with me. I have been told that there are people who shop on eBay that understand these kinds of things, and specifically look for these kinds of items. If you are one of these people, please, please buy this cabinet and do whatever you do with a thing like this. Help me.
Fuck.
You can see that I have no reserve price or minimum bid. If I can make things any easier, let me know, and I will do everything within my abilities. One more note. On the same day my mom had her stroke, the lease to my store was summarily terminated without cause.
Oh.
The measurements of the box are 12.5 inches by 7.5 inches by 16.25 inches. This is in all caps. All of the items that I originally found inside the cabinet are included in the sale and will be delivered with the cabinet. And then there's a note here that says on June 12th, 2003, seller added the following information. Quote, "There is no way that I can respond to all of the emails I've received since I put this thing online. I'll try now to update and answer the most common questions I've been receiving. 1. No, I am not religious. 2. No, I do not wish to have or participate in any sort of exorcism or case study or photo sessions at my home. 3. No, I will not sell any of the individual pieces which were originally found separate from the other pieces in the cabinet. 4. No, I do not speak Hebrew, nor do I know what the word keselim means. I don't know that the word is even a Hebrew word. 5. At the end of the auction, I have decided to take an opportunity to speak with the winning bidder for two reasons. A. To make sure that the winning bidder is a serious adult who has employed some valid reasoning skills in making the decision to accept whatever this is. I will not be judgmental. Do whatever you want or need after the sale. B. To offer full details of the events that have transpired. After I have carried out those responsibilities, and upon payment, I will have the cabinet and its contents delivered by U.S. Mail, FedEx, or UPS to the winning bidder. At that point, I will have no further involvement with the matter in any way, shape, or form. Period. Ugh. 6. To all of you who offered to pray, I may not be religious, but I am certainly open to the possibilities, no matter what your religion might be. Thank you." And then it says, on June 14th, 2003, seller added the following information. "Here is another update for everyone following this listing. No, no, I will not circumvent or make any deals outside of eBay, even for more money than the final auction price. If you want to win the auction and have the kind of money some of you are offering, there shouldn't be any reason why you cannot simply place your bid in an open, honest fashion. I'm sure you can understand why I might be suspicious."
Yeah.
"Also, for those of you wanting to know if I am still experiencing anything out of the ordinary, I thought everything was going okay until I got home on Friday, the 13th of June,
of course,
and found that the fish in my freshwater aquarium, all 10, aww, were dead. I'm still hoping that all of this is coincidental crap." End quote.
Poor fishies.
That is the whole eBay listing as it originally appeared for the Dybbuk box.
Okay.
Okay, so, now.
You just missed the ugliest yawn.
It's okay. Kevin Manis was able to sell the box eventually via this eBay listing. In June of 2003, he sold it to a University of Missouri student named Losef Nitsky, which you might remember, I mentioned this at the beginning.
Yeah.
Nitsky put it back on sale on eBay 8 months later, after he and roommates suffered insomnia and illnesses in the presence of the dreaded item. Nitsky then sold the item to Jason Haxton, who, as I mentioned before, was the director of the Museum of Osteopathic Medicine at A.T. Still University.
That whole mouthful of words.
Which I have said twice now perfectly, and I'm very proud.
I am extremely proud, because I could not.
He was friends with one of Nitsky's roommates, and so he'd heard about the box through him. He paid $280 to take it off their hands.
Word.
Now, Haxton is the one who really made bank off of all this. He launched the website dybbukbox.com, which you can still visit today. That's dibbukbox.com. Which has the original story that I've just read out loud to you, some videos and some photos, and also links to the research that he did while he was investigating it. He also wrote a book called The Dybbuk Box, which details his whole journey on it. This is when the box really became an internet legend, and people became fascinated with it. In the fall of 2004, Haxton sold the rights to the book, and a movie was produced under the same name by director Sam Raimi of Evil Dead fame.
Ooh.
Yeah. He claims that he experienced welts and hives when he first had the box, and he even experienced coughing up blood and choking.
Yeah.
When touching the box, he explained that a sensation that made it seem as if the box went into a liquid state. He said, like, when you touch it, it feels like it becomes a liquid state.
That's or something like that. That's fringy as fuck.
Right. He also mentioned that while he had the box, he saw strange lights and shadows. Now, what I think is interesting about this is that each person who has owned it has had a different experience. Mm-hmm. But within the Manis family, Kevin, the guy who's doing the eBay listing, and his brother, and his sister, and his brother's wife, and his mom, and his girlfriend, they all had basically the same experience. Jasmine flowers, cat urine, nightmare about a hag. Mm-hmm. Right? There were some other shitty things that happened, like the stroke, and him losing the store, and the fish dying.
Yeah.
But those other main things were all the same.
Yeah.
Then Nitsuki gets it, and him and his roommates say, insomnia, illnesses. Totally different. And we're not having a nightmare, we're just unable to sleep.
Yeah.
And now this guy says, welts, hives, coughing up blood, and choking, and something about a liquid state, and strange lights, and he does mention shadows, which Manis had mentioned the shadow things, so it's like that one's kind of similar, but really across the board, nobody's having the same experience with the box, which I find very interesting. Haxton hired scientists, paranormalists, and Kabbalists, or Kabbalists, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce that word.
I think it's Kabbalists.
That sounds right.
That would
right.
be my guess.
And as I mentioned earlier, a Kabbalist would be a follower of the ancient tradition of Jewish mysticism called Kabbalah. And Wiccans to help understand and control the box. To this day, he maintains that the box is trying to get its truth out there, and that it seeks the help of a person who can really understand it to accomplish its mission. Which, when I mentioned Dybbuk's at the beginning, we said that the lost spirit inhabits the body until it accomplishes its mission, or an exorcism is performed.
So it's just gonna stay in the box until
so that,
it's done.
So that tracks a little bit. He stated that the box itself was neither bad nor good, but neutral, and simply plays off of the energy and intentions of those interacting with it.
What kind of intention do you have when it reeks of cat urine?
And, like, it's a box. Kevin's original intention was to refinish it and sell it, or give it to his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know.
That wasn't its purpose, apparently.
Doesn't seem malicious to me. And we talked about this before, too, about how some hauntings end up being chalked up to, like, our own psyche and the energy that we're pouring into it. Like, we've been told that this place is haunted, so when we got there, we were all nervous and expecting certain things to happen and, like, sort of feeding that energy. And so then anything that happens, we were like, oh, it's a haunting thing. Like, when we went to the Hotel Monta Vista,
mm-hmm.
we were, like, cracked out on caffeine and we'd been driving for a few hours and it was late as fuck. And the hotel downstairs was bar was bumping, but then when we got up to our rooms, it was silent because it was like 2 a.m.
Yep.
And we get in the room, there's fucking angels on the ceiling, and we just lost it.
Yep.
If it had been like 9 a.m. and I'd been well rested and like had some breakfast in me, I probably would have been like, oh, look at that, angels on the ceiling.
When there was still time to stay up and watch cartoons.
Right, exactly. So yeah. At one point, Haxton was keeping the box in an acacia wood ark, lined with 24-karat gold, hidden in his den, supposedly to keep it subdued.
Okay.
Yeah. That was a whole mouthful. I'm gonna let you just chew on that for a little bit.
Word. Are we gonna talk about Post Malone? I know that's a weird question.
There is a mention of Post Malone, but I admittedly did not do that research, but we can Google it real quick.
Okay. I saw it when I was pulling up pictures,
yeah.
And I was like...
Yeah, pull it up. Post Malone had an experience that he attributes to the Dybbuk box. We'll get there.
Word.
Recently, though, Haxton has admitted that he ended up putting it into a military-grade shock-proof container buried somewhere that it won't be discovered. According to the articles I found, Haxton then gave the box to Zach Bagans. We've spoken about Mr. Bagans on the podcast before. He's the spiky-haired, muscle-bound frontman of the Ghost Adventures crew. Bagans has the box as part of his collection of paranormal objects in his haunted museum in Las Vegas. Bagans will not let the public look at the box. However, if you'd really like to see it, you must sign a waiver that releases Bagans from liability if anything bad happens to you while viewing the box or immediately after. And I think there's a similar sort of either verbal or written agreement that you enter into when you go to see Robert the Doll, which we will definitely do an episode on Robert the Doll.
I don't know if my little heart can take Robert the Doll.
If you don't respect Robert the Doll, bad things will happen.
Oh, I've heard that, where, like, people yell at him or something, and then they're, like...
Or they take pictures of him without permission.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. Yeah, we'll talk about Robert the Doll another day.
I mean, consent's important.
It is. So that's pretty much all I have about the box itself. So you can decide for yourself whether you feel like it's true or not. Do you have that Post Malone bit pulled up? Okay, so in June of 2018, Post Malone went to see the Dybbuk box at Zach Bagans' Haunted Museum Hotel, or Haunted Museum, excuse me, in downtown Las Vegas, where they were visiting together. He was at the museum when Bagans decided to take the plexiglass cover from around the box and touch it for the very first time.
No!
While Bagans was touching the box itself, Post grabbed his shoulder. Enough, apparently, to transfer the curse. In the months that followed, here's what Post Malone experienced. His private plane was forced to make an emergency landing after its tires blew off.
Fuck.
Three armed robbers targeted a home in San Fernando Valley that they believed to be his. And his Rolls Royce was involved in a serious car accident. So that is Post Malone's experience with the box.
Damn.
Now, I do have one kind of bummer to tell you here at the end. In a Facebook post dated October 24th, 2015, Kevin Manis, the original eBay seller of the box, wrote the following. Quote, I am the original creator of the story of the Dybbuk box, which appeared as one of my eBay posts back in 2003. How about this? If you or anyone else can find any reference to the Dybbuk box anywhere in history prior to my eBay post, I will pay you $100,000 and tattoo your name on my forehead. End quote.
Oh.
Manis later admitted to writer Charles Moss that the box was his own creation and that he, quote, added new elements to the Dybbuk box story over the years to help evolve it, keep it relevant, and interesting, end quote. Friends of Manis have also admitted that they knew it was a hoax, with one man even claiming that the locks of hair inside were from his head.
Oh.
So he's basically saying that he made the whole thing up, and that he just generated this story to, like, make a little more money on what is possibly just a regular old wine cabinet. Now again, I'll let you decide for yourself, because other people owned the box and claimed that they had experiences with it too. So yeah. Who's to say? But that's the story, like I said, that I read to you, as written by Kevin Manis on his eBay posting. It's interesting to note that, like I said, people did have those bad experiences. Many psychologists just chalk it up to, like, mindset. Chris French, the head of Anomalistic Psychology Research Unit at Goldsmiths College, said the box's owners were, quote, already primed to be looking out for bad stuff. If you believe you have been cursed, then inevitably you will explain the bad stuff that happens in terms of what you perceive to be the cause. Put it like this, I would be happy to own this object, end quote. So basically, if my car got a flat tire, and then I stubbed my toe, and then I spilled coffee on my new shirt, I could just say, like, wow, what a shitty day. Or I could be like, OMG, it's the Dybbuk box. Right? Like, if you already think that you have this haunted object, anything bad that happens, you're gonna go, well, it was the Dybbuk box. It's the curse. That's what these psychologists are saying.
Okay.
They're saying that they would attribute anything bad happening to them as being a result of owning the box or being around it. So as always, we leave it to you, the audience, to decide what you believe. These are just things that I found on the internet.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. We've got a lot of really cool stuff lined up for season 3. Thank you, as always, for listening, and we can't wait for you to hear what's in store. Subscribe, like, comment, follow us on Instagram.
Send us a listener tale.
Send us a listener tale. Follow us on Twitter. Send your case suggestions to theeldritchestate@gmail.com. Also, Katie got me the first ever piece of the Eldritch Estate merch. She got me this awesome hoodie with our logo by Stark House Creative. That's Ryan. Follow at Stark House Creative on Instagram and check out his Etsy shop. Thank you, Ryan.
He's hella rad.
And thank you, Katie, for my sweet new hoodie.
You got it, dude.
And yeah, let us know if you want more merch because we have a ton of ideas. We're just sort of waiting to pull the trigger on, like, shirts, hoodies, jackets, pop sockets.
Stickers.
Bottle cap openers, like, what do you guys want? Let us know. Hit us up. And that's it for now. Remember, you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.